so much for joining me. I'm your host, Hillary Ramo, right here on Achieve Radio. Tonight we have Michael Horn returning for our first show of the season of 2014. We're going to be discussing the Billy Meyer material. Michael was on last season a few times to discuss the material. We had a few great shows going through some of the contacts, talking about Billy, his story, and a whole bunch of other great stuff. So tonight he's here again to start off the season and to share with us some of the updates that he has, as well as discuss his new documentary called The Silent Revolution of Truth. Michael Horn is the authorized American media representative for the Billy Meyer contacts. You can check out the contacts at www.theyfly.com, which he personally has researched since 1979, and he has proved them to be absolutely authentic. And he is a writer, producer, as well as a narrator of the DVD, The Meyer Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival. You can follow along on his blog at theyflyblog.com. And tonight we're going to talk about the Pleiadian material, the Plejarans, the whatever else is going on in the world, and Michael's going to give us a great update of what's happening with this material. The reason I wanted to do monthly shows on this particular subject with Michael was because when I started to read through the contacts at theyfly.com, which are available free, you can go through and you can search through the contacts, the material that Billy Meyer produced. There was something in these particular channeled materials, these visitations, whatever you want to call them, that really struck a chord with me, and personally, I was very drawn to the material. Now, I know that his material has been very controversial over the years in the UFO industry, the ET industry, but there was something about the material that was very familiar to me, so I wanted to, my intention with the show, with inviting Michael on to come on regularly to talk about it, was to not only myself be inspired to go through the material to prepare for the shows, but also to share them with my listeners and the people that I care about, and to get people to check it out and really maybe revisit some of the things that they may have heard before or for the first time hear it, you know, without having been through it before. So Michael is here, and I don't know what we're going to talk about tonight. We have a lot of things that we can go through, so it's a very spontaneous, organic conversation, and thank you for being here, and thank you for supporting the show and for being here as long as I've been here on Achieve Radio. I think we're going into 10 years now, 9 or 10 years, and so welcome, everybody, and welcome, Michael. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Hillary. I'm really glad to be able to be back and to kind of kick off the new year with you. It's my pleasure, and I'm more than happy to, you know, go anywhere, if you will, with the topic. And one thing I will initiate as a thought is that I have come out with a brand new film on the case that has a significant amount of information, and we popped one out to you. Hopefully, you'll be able to, you know, get a chance to watch it yourself. And anything and everything in the case is fair game. I just want to state a couple of things, and, you know, just to be very specific. There's nothing channeled, per se. Meyer did and does have the ability to receive telepathic information, but that is usually the transmission of the conversation content that he's had with any one or a number of the Pleiaren people. And they record the conversations, and they transmit it to him telepathically using a device that sends him the content in symbol pictures, which he simultaneously receives, translates into German, and types out at up to 100 words per minute with one hand. So that's kind of what that's about.
That's amazing, and I appreciate you clarifying that for everybody.
Sure.
Because when you talk about him, he receives the symbols, and the symbols hold the information that become the contacts, correct?
Well, actually, yeah, but it is primarily on information that he has just partaken of or participated in himself, meaning that he meets with the people, they have their conversations about whatever, and those conversations are then transmitted back to him so that he can, you know, as a good, you know, purveyor of the information, he can type them out and push them so people can read what it is that was said between him and these people on each of these hundreds and hundreds of occasions that they've been, you know, doing it since, well, for many decades now.
Mm. And for those that are listening, for the, perhaps hearing about his story for the first time, there, can you give us a little brief background on who Billy is and what exactly what his story is all about? Kind of sum it up for us quickly so that we
sure.
can allow any new listeners who may not be familiar with him or our shows together.
Absolutely. Billy Edward Albert Meyer began having contacts, voluntary, wide awake, you know, fully present in the flesh contacts with extraterrestrial human beings in 1942 as a five-year-old boy. They have continued to this day, 70-plus, almost 72 years later, as of next week, and they have been remarkable for any number of reasons. Number one, we can pretty well prove that this is real and true based on copyrighted information that Billy has published for decades prior to the discoveries that he's foretold and the events that he's foretold occurring. And that's up to 50, 60 years. So that type of thing is contained in the case. Meyer, as I say, is a five-year-old boy, had his first contacts with a man called Sloth. That lasted about 11 years, and then the contacts were resumed with a woman named Asket for another 11 years, and then in 1975, he began what were known as the official contacts with a woman named Semyaze and others from her particular group, if you will, and these contacts, starting with the first one on January 28, 1975, were the contacts that he was told to transcribe and publish from that point on. And indeed, he's actually also published transcripts going back as far as 1953 and 1948. But this, from 75 on, is the body of work that he published that contains all of this information, prophecies, predictions, spiritual teaching, the most amazing thousands and thousands of pages. He's actually published over 26,000 pages, but maybe a mere 5,000 pages have been translated into English at this point that we have to work with, and hopefully more and more will be coming. So any kind of, you know, questions about the material, the man himself, his experiences, the extraterrestrials, it's, you know, it's all fair game. And I will make the statement, I've been researching the Meyer case for 35 years. I do not have any evidence at this point of any other comparable, verifiable, extraterrestrial human contact case. Lots of people say it, and I'm not adverse to it existing. Personally, I don't care. But Meyer's is the only case that I can state unequivocally. I can prove this is real, and I can do it in as little as 10 minutes, blah, blah. And more importantly, rather than, oh, my contactee person is better than yours, it's the significance of the information as it pertains to our future survival that is the core of this case.
This is also what drew me personally to you and also Billy's story and the material that he has, is that, you know, we have all of these other UFO industry type configurations and people out there doing, you know, books and events and all kinds of stuff. But what makes him different is that he has actual evidence of physical contact with the ships and other things. And so I you know, and not going into the negative or trying to bring that into the conversation, but I know that you and Billy deal with a lot of skepticism of people who, you know, have tried to debunk what you guys do and all of that, and still yet, you know, you always go back to the material and you always go back to in the context. And once people start to really read the material that's come through Billy, you know, it's really difficult to deny the fact that this is an authentic contact experience that he had. And it's so different than what most people experience in other circles or other arenas of this UFO ET culture. So when you do you find that you, I know I've asked you this before on the shows, and, you know, do you suppose it's getting easier to have these conversations with people, that people are evolving into being able to discuss star beings, ETs, extraterrestrials, life on other planets? I mean, are we finally moving into the realm where we can have those conversations without people raising their arms up and laughing and going, oh, this is crazy?
Well, you know, this is a perfect beat that you're asking this for reasons. Number one, it's easier in the sense that within the past couple of months, an independent professor, an expert in all forms of computer imaging, 3D modeling, Photoshop and all, took it upon himself to analyze two of the most controversial pieces of physical evidence, the so-called wedding cake ship UFO and its photos, and subsequently the video connected to it, 63 photos in that case. And he also analyzed what's called the Pendulum UFO film, the first one Meyer took in 75. Without drawing it out here, because it's easy to find on my website, he was able to unequivocally establish that these are large objects at distance from the camera. They're not models. They certainly weren't special effects. There was no hoax involved. It is just one of those things that, gosh, the physical evidence is now a done deal. Now, a couple of things happened just today, and I'll be really blunt. I don't like to, I don't mind if skeptics attack. I don't mind that. I don't mind giving them a hard time at all. But I got an email from someone named Stephen Greer who is trying to sell. I mean, he's known in the UFO industry as a very apt term. He's trying to sell a $3,300 contact ET training. And I'm about to, tomorrow or so, unless I might have already done it. Yeah, I did. I put up a blog today because I'm so sick of this profiteering and posturing and the phoniness in this industry. Anything for a buck, and none of the people, none of them doing it, have any contact with extraterrestrials. They have no evidence of it. And they, in my opinion, pardon me, they bilk people rather than to direct them where they can find the darn truth and for free. That's one thing. I was hopeful. There's a professor, I think he's Oregon State University or Portland, somewhere up there, Peter Boghossian. He's an atheist, okay, and very intelligent guy. I met him very briefly as part of my approach to him, to have him discuss this material, because I know he's also a skeptic, but he's a philosopher, and he talks about, you know, being open to things that you don't know anything about, and things are moving along, except today he really bucked back at me. He won't do the interview now. Why do you think these things happen? Because this is too difficult for intelligent people who are skeptics, atheists, scientists, religious or not. This is outside most people's paradigm. And what happens in the so-called New Age community, people take these things for granted in a way, and they take a lot for granted that has no substantiation. So it's a very difficult thing to do, because we're talking about something that, if it's true, hands down is the most important event story in human history.
Why do you suppose so many people in the UFO genre don't get along? I mean, what I've noticed as a radio host over the years, as I've had Dr. Greer on the show. I've gone to one of his expeditions when they were not that expensive. And, I did have my own experiences there. We did not have a physical ship come into the area, but we did see lots of things that were unexplainable at the time. But, you know, it seems to me, and I've talked to quite a few, you know, I've worked with Carol Rosen for 2 years on her project. I've had a lot of interaction, but I've always found that very rarely do anybody in the UFO industry or the genre get along. There's little cliques. Yeah. Some of them get along with certain ones. Some of them refuse to do conferences with other ones. You know, it's becoming like a cult kind of following where, you know, you have your followers and your believers who pay money to do this or that. And then, you know, each presenter will badmouth other presenters or talk about them in negative ways. I mean, are we kind of, I would hope and I would like to imagine that we're moving into an arena where it doesn't really matter what we all think personally, but the fact that these are real. You know, we're being visited, the star being, prophecies go back through indigenous cultures all around the world, way beyond Roswell, way beyond, you know, who's paying for what. And, you know, they would show up and work with the indigenous without it being a workshop. You know, they would transmit information and do into their, you know, and it's proven through their stories and their interaction over years, and as they come out and talk about it more and more, you know, we're realizing that this phenomena is very real and it's very enriched in the history of our planet, but it's not something to be categorized into a genre that is about making money or making profit or, you know, but I understand that business has to happen, and if you need to sell a DVD, it costs money to make it. You know, so there's a line, and I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Why don't they get along? Why doesn't anybody get along in this?
Well, let me tell you, I have a pretty unpopular opinion about this in the UFO community. I've called people out because of this reason. In my opinion, this is a field that has the absolute lowest standards for verification, for substantiation, evidence, and proof. There's no doubt that throughout history, going back millions of years, according to the information in the Meyer case, there's been interactions with extraterrestrials coming here. It's not quite so romantic as a lot of the tales make it out. These were, in virtually every case, these are human beings from different places who have attained space travel, and they've come here. Some of them were quite barbarous and vicious. Some of them were not. And some died out, some went home, some stayed, some remained here and degenerated into tribes and then went back up and evolved. There's a lot. This is all told about in Contact 251. But I want to answer that question very specifically. The problem is that there are no real good standards. This is an industry, and it's a darn shame. Now, you're hearing that from somebody who, on his own dime, makes films and DVDs and all stuff to get info out. I do all my representation of the Meyer case for free. You know, all the blogs and the writing and if you go and you appear at some conference or something, you're paid a couple $100 maybe in your travel expenses. If you manufacture a lot of hype and nonsense and you claim that you've been abducted by extraterrestrials or that you're the contact person and you publish, pardon me, puerile nonsense, and people nod their heads and go on, then there's an industry, and nobody's mentioning this. The Meyer case is the, I mean, I don't mind if somebody says, wait a minute, you're wrong, Michael. Here's all this other substantiation. But it isn't there. It just isn't there. And I've been 35 years researching this, so I've gone through everything. People say, oh, you got to check out this, and you have to check out that. But this is a business for people who have absolutely zero credibility. I'm terribly sorry to say it in one level. I mean, now, if they want to come forward and say, well, no, we can prove it. Okay, I'm all ears and all. But I research a man who suffered through 22 attempts in his life. His children were nearly kidnapped at knife point. He's had his left arm ripped off his body. And he's not out on the circuit talking about it. He publishes his information. It's up to those who are interested to find it or to disseminate it, as I do, with their approval, with no money changing hands between us. I'm not paid to do it. They're not, you know, paying me to do vice versa. This makes me a bit irritated because we're talking about the human race has information here about its origins, the truth about its religions, how they were formed. Events from the past we know nothing about, events that were historically portrayed incorrectly, and future events that keep on occurring that Meyer has specifically foretold for 50 or 60 years, and we've got a bunch of profiteers running around at UFO expos talking about lights in the sky. I find it personally absolutely darn disgusting. And I've said it at these events. I've called people out at events that I've been, you know, come to the International UFO Congress several years back, twice. I said, I'm sorry, these people, and I named them, and I should show them on the screen. Oh, I wasn't invited back because I'm spoiling their, you know, their cash cow. I don't care about the rubber chicken circuit, you know? So, pardon me, you know, you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth on this. This field is full of such bunk, such disinformation, much of it generated through the intelligence community and picked up willingly, knowingly or unknowingly, by profit and celebrity-seeking people. And I'll tell you, the Stephen Greers and the Stephen Bassetts and the Stanton Friedman running around forever babbling about Roswell, which I knew about before he did. I learned about it in high school. It was real. It's over. There's nothing there. And the Meyer case has been offered to all these people. I personally offered it to Stephen Greer. I personally offered it to Stephen Bassett. And Stephen Greer simply ignored it. Stephen Bassett took 2 weeks to figure out how to decline it. This is an insult to the truth. I mean, this is the truth of it, Hillary.
I have to say, Michael, of all the people I've ever talked with in this industry, you are by far the most grounded person person I've ever interacted with in this material. And I have to say, it is a frustrating subject because it is so infiltrated with so much junk that it just doesn't do anybody any good, really, to just spend their life hours going through it indefinitely because it's so conflicting. I know for a fact that people are put into this industry, going to the conferences, doing the circuits, writing the books. You know, all of a sudden somebody pops up and they're a best-selling author and they have 19 books to sell on UFOs and nobody's ever heard of them before. And they're speaking at every major conference, and they're on major TV, and they're doing all this stuff. I mean, and then you have the people who really do have experiences, and they're afraid to come forward because they don't want to be seen as this or that or anything else, or they're just easily turned into some kind of ridicule circus show. But, you know, going back to the Billy Meyer material, I am fascinated, and I always have been fascinated by the Marcel Vogel Association and the crystals that, you know, he would work with, and I have a couple myself, and I know I've told you that before, but when I go back to what really draws me to this material versus other material, it's all intuitively confirmed within me, in my own way and in my own experience, that this is authentic. And I make a big ripple by saying that because I get contacted by people who say this and that and everything else and all this sort of stuff. And it doesn't matter because I go back to what I know to be truth for myself. And I advise people who are listening to approach anything in this genre in that way. So when you really have to get into Billy's material. You know, Michael and I can sit here and talk on the air and discuss this and go back and forth. But what it really comes down to, honestly, is getting into the material and actually reading the contacts and reading what has come through. It's fascinating to me. And, Michael, it is the closest to what I've been told by indigenous elders personally, what the star prophecies have been, what the memories have been, what all of the things, that, you know, the stories. Your material, this material with Billy, is the closest that's come to mixing with that. Nobody else wants to talk about the indigenous cultures. Nobody else wants to go past Roswell. Nobody else wants to discuss the hardcore ships. You go on to an expedition and you see lights in the sky and you see amazing things with the night vision goggles and the cameras and you can't deny that you're seeing it, but nothing ever comes even close to what Billy has experienced in his pictures. And I think people, you know, when people say, oh, well, you know, I want to go to this and I want to have an experience and I want to have a real life, you know, hardcore, touch the metal kind of experience, and unless I have that, I don't believe anything.
Well, you know, and that's fine because, I mean, you said you've covered a lot of territory there. And here's the thing, let me be blunt. I've had at least 7 UFO sightings, 6 of which were probably secret military because the majority of sightings, not all, the majority are secret military, secret groups that have got alternative technology. There are all sorts of agendas that go on in the world. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I don't care. I was within 20 feet of a small Pléiades monitoring craft, October 3rd, 10 p.m., 2011, up in the mountains of Brazil. So I can say, ooh, wee, wahoo, I've been close. And the Pléiades sent me specific information addressed to me through Billy. As I probably told the story on your show last year, you know, to help avoid a trap that was set that would have been very damaging to Billy, to me, to the mission. Okay, fine. I know it's real, not because, you know, I know it's real from way before that. This was personal. It's anecdotal. But here's the thing. It wouldn't matter if we could sit down to tea with these people. It really, really wouldn't. They are trying to get us to take responsibility for our life. Look, in 1951, when Meyer warned about all the environmental damage coming, and when he warned about climate change, 58, unnatural global warming, and all of the weather implications and the dangers of atomic power plants and radiation, I mean, he spells this out over 50 years ago, and all of the manifestations of weather, global warming happens to also include the opposite when you get the climate change goes into ice age and all that. So he covered all this, you know, decades ago. This is about us. It's literally about humanity's future survival, but it's so hard for people to get it. And in 58, in one of his, you know, famous, prophetic pieces, 160-plus specific things. He said, you know, this will be the time we're in, of what he calls phantasmagoria, where people will cease to be able to discern reality. The visual and, you know, auditory illusions created will be so strong they will waste their time playing games with life. I mean, he nails it, and that's what we're stuck with. And this darn it, pardon me, silly UFO industry only cares. It's so cynical. This is what happened. Wendell Stevens, the great guy who was the lead investigator, when he, just before he passed away, a lot of his a lot of his documentation was purchased by a group called something Mind. I forget what it is. It's Open Mind. Okay. And they are now the people who do this UFO Expo in Arizona and all this stuff. They bought his stuff, so much of Meyer's stuff, and then they turn around and publish magazine articles and radio shows attacking the case as a hoax, and they sell Meyer's photos at the same time. This is how cynical and corrupt this whole nonsensical business is. Well, we've been given a treasure of warning and specific recommendations as to how to extricate ourselves from what otherwise is going to be, in the U.S. alone, by 2020, anarchy. Literally, they told Meyer just months ago, the way it's going now, if the people in the U.S. don't change their direction, anarchy. This would follow Meyer's prediction from 81 and 87 of two civil wars coming to the United States of America. And what are we doing? We're worrying about Miley Cyrus twerking and Kim Kardashian's butt and, you know, imaginary contactees. This drives me insane. I don't have my head in the sky. You know, I'm not going to say anything else. And I cannot, I don't know why people are so suicidal. You know, life is,
I know why people are so suicidal. People are suicidal because they're not meant for such superficial living.
Oh, but goodness. Stop following that stuff, folks. I mean, you know, turn off the tube and get offline. Stop having little pretend life online as beings that you're not with silly screen names. Wake up. We're in a pit. You know, I mean, help. And we are the ones that have to help ourselves out of it. This is what the Meyer case is about. I mean, I shouted from the rooftops, but, you know, what... If we can't get the more conscious, aware, environmentally concerned, you know, conscious people to pay attention to this, that's why I can't get a so-called intelligent atheist or, you know, these other people who all literally freak out. They cannot handle this. And I'm going, well, you know, what do you do when you get a bunch of dodos who... Whatever their gig is, they really only want to. It's all, I don't want to ruin my funding. Oh, my goodness, I'm a scientist, and you're going to show me that I don't know what I'm talking about? I'm not the one who's going to be contacted by ETs, some one-armed, pot-bellied, great-bearded, late middle-aged Swiss farmer? Help! You know, I mean, we're in desperate times here, my dear. This is really what's going on. And you know, I want to hit my head a few times. Wake up, people.
I want to read something. I want to read something off of your website. No, don't apologize, please. It's great.
Okay.
I want to read something off of your blog, theyflyblog.com. It's the About Billy section. For everybody that's listening, and it continues, the Pleiadians, Plejarans, and their confederates are human beings with physical bodies and look very much like the people on Earth. With the exception of some minor anatomical differences, especially regarding the Confederates, they live for 1,000 years, approximately. Their home planet, somewhat smaller than Earth, is called Era. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Era? E-R-R-A? Its a population is about 500 million people, while the entire Federation has a population of approximately 120 billion. The Pleiades, Plejaran, are not identical with the Pleiades we see on the night sky. They are 80 light years beyond the Pleiades in another space-time configuration or dimension. The Pleiadian Plejaran's consciousness or spirit and technology are much more highly developed than here on Earth. They and the people on Earth have the same ancestors but have developed separately. So From 1975 until August 19, 2003, there have been 632 personal and...
And what? Oops. Hello? We dropped way here. Are you there?
That live radio for you. It happens. I'm not sure where we left off, but I was reading a section from theyflyblog.com on the About Billy page. I'm not going to read it again because I'm not sure where we got disconnected, but I highly suggest that you go to this page and you read the entire piece here, the entire page, because it talks about exactly what has drawn me to Michael, to Billy's work, and to the contact information. It's a wonderful summary of who he has been talking to over the years and what he's been involved in. So I'm not going to reread that, but I was planning on reading it to you, and we got disconnected. So, Michael, one of the things that I have noticed also in this industry is that people are perfectly fine with having famous people come on and talk about certain star configurations such as Orion, you know, the pyramids of Giza, with other, you know, Sirius and other different popular constellations. But when it comes to the Pleiades, for some strange reason, you know, it doesn't get as much attention as these other star constellations. And I'm curious about what your thought is on that, if it's something you've also noticed, and if you, what you think is behind that.
Oh, well, I'm not exactly sure what you meant. The Pleiaden or Pleiades don't get as much attention as
well,
other star
constellations? Yeah, well, when it comes to... Okay, so let's... Okay, I'm sorry. Let me better phrase that. So when you talk about ancient sites and their alignments to star constellations, there are a lot of star constellations that, you know, they have found aligned to different sites. But there are a lot that align to the Pleiades. But you don't see, I don't see, or I haven't found that that's published as much as other more famous known sites that, you know, associate themselves with certain other constellations. And I'm just curious if you know, have you noticed the same thing?
Well, you know, I really haven't, and I'll tell you why it probably hasn't caught my attention, is because I have, I've more and more, you know, the more time I've spent with this and everything, I go into the material that's more and most pertinent to us and our survival. And I'm less, let's say, concerned or interested right now with some of the other things, although I've read, like in Contact Q51 and all, you know, the histories, the people that were based under the Great Pyramid, that were, you know, creating our religions and extraterrestrial stuff. So I've gotten into more of the details of the history of the comings and goings of the various races, pardon me, that have been here and that have influenced us and influenced our history, and less about, let's say, the connections to monuments, stars, clusters. I mean, we can say, okay, the great, you know, the pyramids at Giza, we have the Orion Belt there represented. And, of course, the Pleiadians said long ago, well, there's lots of pyramids around the world, all built around the same time, built primarily by human beings with help from some humans from the Orion system. And I mean, you start to go, oh my goodness, what does all this mean? And they give a lot of this information. For instance, there's one thing, speaking of, you know, objects, there is going to be some event that was written about early on in the context when a certain star alignment is above the Great Pyramid and a certain star light will shine and descend down a central shaft, which will, you know, be connected to some event on Earth. Well, goodness gracious, they don't tell us any more than that, and there's that kind of stuff. And so I went into a place where I went, well, there's not much I can do with this. What can I do? What can I work with here? I want to, you know, make sure that the most pertinent information is brought forward. It turns out to be what we'd call the spiritual teaching and the recommendations to us as to how we can extricate ourselves from all of this, you know, grief that we're in. The self-responsibility of the whole thing. It's really, really what it's about. So I'm not a real good one for all this other stuff. There are people, I'm sure, that know far more about the types of things that you just mentioned and that you're interested in.
Yeah, well, I can see your in-depth focus on the material because it's obvious in your, and pretty much everything that you put out there, and including when you come on the show. So, you know, I can appreciate that. But for those listening, I challenge you to go look that up. I mean, it just seems to me that the UFO industry is more willing to accept alignments with certain star constellations and old ancient monuments versus others. I mean, that's at least what I've noticed. And please send me material if you find things to show different, because the Pleiades are saturated within indigenous cultures. They talk about the Seven Sisters all the time, and it's a part of their prophecies. And I'm friends with Robert Bivol. I've had him come on the show a couple times, and every time I bring up the Pleiadian connection with temples, it's kind of like a dead space, don't want to talk about it kind of topic. So I'm curious why, and I would love to know the answers. There's also some other authors who have dedicated their life to those alignments, and they can't get published for anything. Nobody's willing to take on that kind of consistent, I guess, proof that all around the world we had these cultures, these different areas aligning themselves to that specific constellation. And it just seems like the totality of that has been ignored for the most part.
It has. And the other thing is that Meyer was given a lot of information about the Great Pyramid. The original structure, the original one, was put together 72,000 plus years ago, maybe 73,000 by this time. And it served a lot of purposes that were historical for sheltering people. It conveyed information. The measurements on it were related to the distance of the Earth to the sun. It was very sophisticated stuff. The people who are expert now, quote-unquote, on pyramids and these monuments and all, actually, with all, you know, due respect, because they brought a lot of information forward, unless they've read a lot of the Meyer material, they don't know this stuff. They simply don't. And so they're wandering around probing. Meyer was underneath, a mile underneath the Great Pyramid. He was taken there in the 50s, where the extraterrestrial race known as the Bafath were based, and these are the people, a couple of the people connected to that race, names we might know like Jehovah and the New Age community, Ashtar Sharan, who actually was a real guy. These were very negative ETs who were trying to control humanity, create through religion worldwide control, and there's a lot that, and none of this will get into mainstream press, believe me, for a long time, but if you tell people, I'm channeling Ashtar, then they're going to sit there, and so you'll close your eyes or roll them around first, you'll tilt your head back and go, greetings, masters of, you know, and then you start babbling this great stuff, I'm talking to you, meaning these people that do all this stuff, and then, so, good research, people that you're talking about, all of it gets pushed by the wayside for the industry, the new age UFO industry, and we, this is why I say it's a suicidal thing. We harm ourselves by not.
Again, I guess we're still having some technical difficulties. My phone just keeps dropping. Michael, are you still there?
I think so. It sounds like me, doesn't it?
Okay, good. Well, I'm sorry. I want to apologize to everybody listening. I don't know what's happening, but apparently, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read a section of what I was trying to read before because I feel it's important for everybody listening to understand the depth of the material that we're discussing tonight. On the theyflyblog.com about Billy section, it talks about how he has more than 347 contacts that have been documented and available as contact reports. Those contact reports are free and on the website. As of 2013, 16 volumes of contact notes, each consist of 200 pages, are available. Some, I guess, are in German only. Some of the subject matters discussed are creation and its creations, origin of the universe, Earth history, science, astronomy, spirituality, reincarnation, genetic engineering, terrestrial religions, human evolution, spiritual teachings, interplanetary spaceflight, galactic federation, extraterrestrial origin and visitation to Earth, telepathy, overpopulation on Earth, destruction of the environment, male-female relationships, government and military cover-ups, and much more. Hundreds of photos have been taken of beam ships and their landing tracks, among other things. Photographs of five different variations of spacecraft from 3.5 to 7 meters, usually piloted by humans. Other spacecraft and telemeter disks are remotely controlled and have also been photographed on several occasions. There also exist huge spaceships for traveling through space. There are photographs of single or multiple objects, day and night settings, above and below the horizon line. And there is video and Super 8 footage, film analyzed by electron microscopes, laser scanning, and computer functions. There is a wide variety of information on this page that gives you a summary of what exactly we're dealing with. Okay, so before I get dropped again from my call, Michael, I know we have only a few minutes left in the show, but I'd also like to talk about your new film so people can really get an idea of what, where, and why, and where they can find it and if it's available.
Sure, thank you so much. It's available on my site, and for your listeners, not only can they get the film, the DVD, but if they buy the DVD of And Did They Listen, and they just put your name in there, first name or last name, I'll send them an additional free 90-plus minute DVD along with it, 2-for-1, so they can find out what this Meyer case thing is all about. Again, since I was such a naysayer on the UFO industry, you can read to your heart's content for free, and you can also get new DVD, the new film if you want, 111 minutes that will fill you in on what is really going on. And other than that, I just, want to be feisty and, crack some whips and get people to wake up and participate a little bit more and thank those people who participate in any way that they do, because this isn't the only way on Earth to, make progress. It's just a very, very unique information and content rich and highly unique situation that is a one of a lifetime type of thing. 70-plus years of contacts, he still meets with the people, and they're trying to get us to, step it up a bit here so we don't wipe ourselves out. So I'd love to answer questions, and I hope that we'll be able to, of course, do this again, too, and, if you get questions.
Yeah, I would love to do this again. So let me just clarify, 2 videos for 1 offered to our listeners here.
Yep.
You put Hillary Ramos Show in the subject line, and what exactly is the email to send it to?
Well, they can. What they can do, if they go to my website, they fly, they'll see the new film advertised in the right-hand corner. There's a product page. If they go to buy that film, and they click on they buy that film, as long as they put Hillary or Hillary Ramos or Ramo or Hillary Ramos Show in there, I automatically send an additional free professionally produced film. That's 2 films. For 1, for your listeners, I'm delighted to do it. I want them to know.
Great. So we go to theyfly.com. You go mm-hmm. to the new film product page. You buy the new DVD, and you put my name into the subject line. Great.
Yeah,
and then you guys will get an extra free offer, a free CD, so it's a 2-for-1 deal. Take advantage of it. It's a great offer. Thank you very much, Michael, for allowing everybody to have the opportunity to get in touch with this. And in the meantime, you can also go to theyfly.com, and you can stroll through the volumes and volumes of contact material that are in there and find something that I'm sure you resonate with, and compare it to notes and other things that people are doing. If you are somebody who likes to explore this topic and explore the work of people, so, Michael, now, Billy is still doing what he's doing, correct? Is he still engaged with all of this?
Absolutely. He's got at least 1 new book coming out this year, probably 2. He writes all the time. He continues to meet with these people, and he does his thing quietly, kind of reclusively in the nice up there in the rural, highlands of Switzerland, and that is his mission. That's what he does. It's for us. And he's gone through, quite a life to carry through and give us, this gift for humanity. And it is up to us if we want to, partake in it. It's free, basically. So there it is. He's a wonderful, very down-to-earth, he used that term before, a very down-to-earth man who laughs and occasionally yells and all the rest of it, raised kids and family. Got divorced, has grief, he's a real person, and a few other things, lost his arm too. So there's the ups and the downs of the whole deal, and it is the most remarkable event going on this planet, And because it's not part of the UFO industry, a lot of people simply don't know about it.
Right, and that's why we're doing this show, and that's why we're going to continue to do the show. So next time you come on, we can take questions from people. We can perhaps go through some certain areas of different contact material. We can also have some chat about, you know, other things and what's going on in the world around us. So thank you so much for being here. We're out of time. I apologize to everybody for the technical difficulties. Take advantage of the DVD offer that Michael's been so generous with. And we will talk to you guys all next week. Thanks for being here, everybody. Have a great night. Namaste.
Bye-bye.
You can find out about the discovery of the divine name, what we call a hotline to the divine. Explore ways of studying and learning about sound healing.